So it is God's desire for us to make him known. And because of that, he's given us spiritual gifts. Do you believe that you have at least one spiritual gift that God has given you in order to make him known here in our church and in life? Do you believe that? I hope you believe that. I mean, that this is a gift from God, and he's given this to you. And so that's why we're talking about spiritual gifts over this. We've called it a little mini seminar, in a sense, of this reality, this amazing truth. And I'd like you to turn to the back of your notes. I hope you get these. And on the back are some questions. I want to walk through these questions and just have you, these are all personal questions that we all need to respond to. So let's look at number one. Who do you think is the most important person in our church? Who do you think is the most important person? Yeah, that's a trick question. Okay, so I'm going to own up because, you know, we're probably all saying most important. Well, everybody's important. It's right. That's right. So, okay, I gave you the answer for that one. It's a trick question. Let's go on to question number two. How can you know how important you are to our church? How can you know that? In other words, how can you know what your gift is and how God wants you to use it? But you are important to the life of this church. Do you believe that? I don't care how young or how old you are. If you're a believer in Christ, you are critically important to the life of this church. You are. Do you believe that? And how can you know how important you are? Question number three, how does your spiritual gift keep you humble even as you continue to be a good steward of that gift? Now, this is not a trick question, and it's not an easy answer, but it's really important that we think about this. Question number four, how do you understand the assignment that God has given you for your ministry to make him known in our church? Question number five, what does it take for us to be a well-coordinated local church? What's that take? Question number six, as I wrote this question and then checked with my wife, she said I needed to change some words around. So that's good. I really, really appreciate her insights. And she has a number of gifts to help me with this. But number six, some of the lesser gifts, lesser in terms of notoriety and public acclaim. Some of the lesser gifts are very important to our church. Stop and identify how we have been blessed by specific people in this church with specific gifts, blessed by specific people in our church with gifts that typically get less attention. Okay? All ages, all state of bodily health. And we've been talking today about, Dennis mentioned this, about people that from our midst that are sometimes sick. And we know, check your email, that Paula Vellabil is typically, she gets more than her share of bronchitis, but it also can really threaten to turn into pneumonia, and I believe that's what she's dealing with now. So pray for Paula. I asked her, could we publicly say this? She said, yes, please pray. She said she's doing better, but please pray. It's great to see Karen back here and her parents. Wow, what a, this is just a, you know, this is a first in many months that they've all been together here for our worship service, and we've been praying that they would repent and come back to us. Here they are. So, no, it's really great. And it's been quite a physical, emotional, and sometimes a spiritual long journey. So continue to pray, right? Continue to pray. And we do. I also heard from a friend yesterday who used to be a part of this church. I heard at least about him. And he had the same kind of surgery that I did. He had a hip replaced. And this is Bob Barnison, and lives up in the desert area now. And his surgery has not turned out real well. And he's pretty miserable right now. So if you think about it, put Bob Barnison on your prayer list. When things aren't working right, we're hurting. So that's why I wrote this this little paragraph in your notes at the beginning. It's God's desire to make himself known, to manifest himself through us. Amen, right? Our bodies, our physical bodies, are made up of many interdependent parts. And when one of them is not working, man, it really can throw us off, right? Just really throw us off. It's a delight to see when all of those parts are working, and so it is with the local church. It's designed to work together to make him known. Our spiritual gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of us. And it's a wonderful thing to look out from this position and see all of you and realize that we have been given gifts by God. And he intends for us to use them as we walk in the Spirit. You may have identified your spiritual gift, and you may have used it sometimes very, very effectively, as sometimes I think I have. And sometimes I just have used it winging it. And not, you know, like, I'm really good at this. I'm kind of a natural. God has to remind me, hey, Pastor John, you're not a natural. You have to still be very, very dependent upon me. Whether you're preaching or teaching or encouraging someone, coming alongside of somebody, don't wing it. Be dependent upon me. This is a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the first three lists that you'll see listed, and that's why I gave just kind of these bullet points. We talked about the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. I need wisdom if I'm going to counsel people. I was asked to counsel somebody recently who's not part of our church, but asked to counsel. And because he was asked to counsel somebody, and he wanted some advice biblically. Word of wisdom. So here's, my friend, here's a word of wisdom. Praying all along that God would use that in the life of in his life and in the life of the person he hopes to counsel. The word of knowledge. I don't know all of Dr. Ortner's gifts, but I think he's got the word of knowledge. And he says lots of words, and he's prepared well to do this, and he's been prepared by the Holy Spirit. I don't know, Dr. Ortner, if you'd say that's your gift, but man, you've sure got it. The gift of faith. This is about persistence in prayer. Continuing to just, I'm not going to give up praying for this subject. And I will pray month after month, year after year, seeking God's face all the time as I pray. Wow. Along the way, there have been some amazing heroes of the faith who were persistent in prayer. And they were persistent all the way up to the end of their lives, persistent in praying. Some long lives, and some lives that seemed caught short. But I want you to turn to it. I'm just reading this text this morning as part of my regular walk through scriptures. Turn with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. This is in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to be reading a few words from verse 17. Now, this is the chapter when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he had all these bright young men trained to be to work in his court, and he ran into Daniel and his friends. And then in chapter 2, after Daniel had just stepped forward and had shown himself to be an amazing counselor with great wisdom, then the king built an amazing gold statue, and he required that everybody bow down to this statue. And Daniel and his buddies didn't bow down. And the king said, you're in trouble now. And so Daniel returned to his house. And actually, the king had a dream. This is I'm actually preceding this. I went on to read the second half of Daniel. So Daniel chapter 2. This is the section when Daniel... Now, well, let me just read verse 17. Daniel returned to his house under a serious, serious threat that all the wise men, including his buddies, and all the wise men who advised the king. And he says in verse 17, Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Because they're all going to be killed. He urged them to plead to God for mercy because he had told the king, I can tell you what you dreamed, what your dream was. All the other wise men had said, nobody, who can know this? Just tell us what you dreamt. And we'll give you we'll make up an answer. Daniel said, nobody can give you an answer like this but God. So he returned to talk to his friends, and he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, the God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Now, I read this today in this. This is an Old Testament passage. I read this today about someone who had a gift. And he was a well-trained person. He was a brilliant person along with his friends. And he was a godly person who kept going back to God. And when he, under the threat of death, the moment is now. The king wants to know what he dreamt. I told him my God would show me. And now, brothers, I'm asking you to pray for me for wisdom. And they did, and he prayed. A spiritual gift is not something for any of us to use by just simply winging it. Because every time we do, we'll make a fool of ourselves. And we clearly will not manifest, not make the Lord known. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 to 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God is making himself known through each one of us for the common good, for the good of this body, our local church. To one there is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To others, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. We pick up today with talking a little bit about the gift of healing, the gift of healings. This is one of those spectacular gifts that stands out. I was talking with a friend, a pastor friend, this last week, and he said, you know, the further I go down the road, and the more I teach and the more I preach, I find myself looking at God's will from a 50,000-foot view. I try to back up and take a look at what's God saying in a picture like this. Sometimes people like Peter and John walking through the temple grounds, as they walk through the temple grounds, they passed a lot of different people, and among the people that they probably passed day after day as they were on their way to worship in the temple area, they must have walked by this beggar who needed healing. And they said, you know, probably day after day, they just walked by this person. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I'm not hearing the Bibles rustle, but Acts chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, being called Beautiful, where that was the name of the gate, where he was put every day to beg from those in the temple courts. Now, I'm just assuming that they, as they walked by, they saw this man many, many times. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Of course he expected that. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The man jumped to his feet and began to walk, and he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging in the temple gate called Beautiful. and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now, I made a statement. You may have been wondering, how could you make this statement that they walked as they walked to the temple gate, probably many times, they probably saw him before. Well, I say that because it's the same way things happened with Jesus. As Jesus walked along, he passed a lot of people that were sick and a lot of people that were hurting, physically hurting, and a lot of people that were begging. Some were blind, some were crippled, some had limbs that were shorter than others, and they were in a tough place. And sometimes it's something struck his attention and he healed them. But when Jesus healed and when the disciples healed, the reason they healed was to validate their message, to validate them as someone sent by God. They didn't simply heal somebody because they just felt sorry for them. Every time they healed to validate the message of the gospel. This good news that this person carries this message, which is for eternity and is for this person's spiritual good. Think about what happened with Jesus when four friends brought their friend who was so lame that he was restricted to a cot. And they lowered him, you recall, all sorts of people all around, they lowered him through the ceiling. They took the roof apart and they unroofed the house and let him through. And Jesus said, as this man is right in front of him, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." He starts out by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, don't you see, he's a cripple? And how do you know who he is and what his great need is? Jesus said this. He said, this would be easy. But in order that you know that the Son of Man comes with this message, rise up, pick up your bed and walk. Why did he heal? To call attention to the reality of the gospel message. Likewise with miracles. Who were the people in the scriptures that performed miracles? Miracles like parting the sea. You got that one? How about 10 plagues and a rod? Yes, Moses in those cases. How about striking a rock? I was thinking how many times these miracles involved water. How about striking a rock and water gushes out? Because God said, do this. Why? Time and time again, he performed healing or miracles to call attention to the validity of the messenger and the message. Repeatedly. Miracles, doing something it just didn't fit with nature. Okay, ivory soap floats, but people, well, I clearly don't float. My wife floats, but I'm way too dense to float at all, so to the bottom. But Jesus walks on water, and Peter, somehow or other, just this act of faith, he's out on top of the water until he, all of a sudden, reality sets in and he starts to go down. In every case, these miracles and healing designed to call attention to the validity of this person who brings God's message of the message of the gospel, Old and New Testament. We call these things sign. We call them sign gifts, and we're going to talk about that more in the next couple of weeks. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. Please turn to John chapter 20. And as John winds up this, John doesn't cover a whole lot of miracles. And he covers the heart of Jesus repeatedly. But he says at the end of his, as he's nearing the end of his gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Why the miracles? And why are these miracles written down? So that you'll believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have life in his name. The people in the scripture that clearly had gifts of healing and miracles were Elijah, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, and the early disciples. So do people today have gifts of healing? What do you see from a 50,000 foot level? Sometimes I think when it's in terms of gifts of healing, clearly God has equipped people, his people, people like Dr. Paul Brand, who performed wonders in surgery to repair the damage that was caused by leprosy in many parts of the world, and to teach people about the wonders of his creation. Before I had my surgery on my hip, I had found out that my doctor was a follower of Christ, a serious follower of Christ. And so as he came in just before my surgery, he stood behind the curtain with Marilyn and me, and I said, okay, I'm ready. Are you? How about if you pray as you get ready to perform? There are probably some very natural gifts of healing, but it seems like the gift of healing that was done in Scripture was to call attention to the gospel. And so I do believe that for the most part, these are sign gifts. We'll talk more of this. The gift of prophecy. Well, there were people like Daniel who had the wisdom, and he had this gift as he said before God, I need a vision to see what the dream was about. So would you please give me that kind of a vision? And Daniel got that. It was a matter of ongoing prayer. Prophecy, though, is not just about foretelling. It's about forthtelling. People with the gift of prophecy are people who tell people clearly, thus saith the Lord. It might be Pastor Dr. Ortner. It might be Pastor Dennis. It might be Susie. It might be you that has the gift of prophecy. And you have, it seems like when you're walking in the Spirit, you have no problem being very, very clear. There might be chaos all around you. It may seem like people are falling apart around you. It could be here in our church, and the people are just not. They're just chatting it up over and over. They're saying things about one another that are just mean-spirited. It happens inside of churches. People full of having a critical spirit, and the person with the gift of prophecy comes alongside of friends, and they say, "Thus saith the Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The person with the gift of prophecy has no problem writing words like I read yesterday in the verse of the day for the YouVersion Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter, I think there's no doubt that among, maybe including the gift of knowledge that the Apostle Paul had, he was also this kind of a prophet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to read these words along with me. I'm reading again from the New International Version. But when verses 1 through 6, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, now he's already, this is his disclaimer, I'm using Christ's words, with meekness and gentleness, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, because that's what you're accusing me of. I'm bold when I'm not looking at you face to face. I'm bold when I'm writing a letter. He said, I beg you. This is verse 2. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. It's not just screaming and hollering. It's not political intrigue behind the scenes involving other people in borrowing their power to fight for me. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Because we're fighting an enemy. It's far bigger and tougher than we are, and far more clever than we are if we're fighting by the world's standards. Politics, manipulation. We, verse 5, demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the local church, have to just basically say, thus saith the Lord, folks. We're playing a game here right now. And we might all call each other Christians. It can happen inside of families. When letters and emails are being, they're just kind of moving around and people are tearing each other apart who are Christians. And someone comes along and says, thus says the Lord. And we're taking every thought. We need to take every one of these thoughts and bring it to Christ and say, Jesus, is this the way you want me to think? And when that happens, these words come from somebody inside the body of Christ. It could be some quiet, meek, young, old person that reminds us of what God's word says about backbiting, about trying to steamroll people. We bring those thoughts before Christ. This is not a mystery, folks. The prophet would bring all these thoughts in the midst of this chaos and say, Lord Jesus, is this the way we're to be thinking right now? After 50 years of ministry, I can say there have been many, many times when in the midst of the chaos of just, sometimes it happens doing ministry. It's a wonderful thing when a prophet says, in our midst, we need to stop, consider and read what Jesus says about this. Bring it to him. The prophet speaks clearly, prophetically. You know, I got a card years ago from a friend named Joe, and I'd said something. We were just kind of goofing around, and I said, this is what I said. I said, you know, I swear this is what happened. Okay? Those are my words. I swear this is what happened. And my friend Joe sent me a card, and it was an artist version of a prophet. You know, big beard, probably hadn't bathed in days, but you could almost feel this as there was a finger pointing at me. And he said, get your act together. Because I said, I swear this happened. Get your act together. I loved it. That's the picture we have of what a prophet does. But again, sometimes that prophet can be just somebody who knows God's word and simply maybe even with a soft voice in our midst says something profound that gets our attention and stops us in our tracks. Distinguishing spirits. This is we're told by John, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You know, the early church, the Apostle John was probably in his 90s when he wrote these wonderful sweet letters. And John writes in chapter 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And they've been creating heresy about who Jesus is and about what God's will is. False prophets, sometimes we just need to back up and say, Lord, just help me understand this. It all goes under, all of these things go on under the banner of ministry. There are ministries going on, just springing up all over the world. And just because they go under, this is the title of this is a church or this is a institution of learning, or it just, these are people with great zeal. We've said before, and I know that some people among us will even say, this ministry might seem to be doing well, but it's preaching health and wealth. You know, if you just keep sending your money in here, and you just keep listening to us, you'll be as successful your life will be truly prosperous in every sense of the word. This prosperity gospel comes across when somebody has they have a relationship breakdown, and that relationship breakdown could be in their marriage, it could be in an engagement, it could be just in a guy and a girl, and this is. Yeah, it's not working out. Or it could be, it seems like your health fails, or it seems like your house burns down, and people will say, well, God has something better planned for you. Prosperity gospel. God, when something goes sour, God has something better for you, right? Have you thought that before? That's a prosperity gospel, because God only wants things to be better for you. Well, What do you mean by better? Is better, now you're going to, you know, you're going to, ladies, you're going to get a real hunk of a man. That's better. Guys, you're going to get, wow, what a babe. That's going to be, that's better? What's, wait a second. God doesn't necessarily have something better in your term of better, but he's got something different for you. And while it will be wonderful, it's not like it's going to be a bigger house, necessarily. It's not going to be like a cooler spouse. It almost rhymes. It's God has something different for you. And the people with that have this gift of distinguishing of spirits are able to help their friends. Maybe it happens that there's somebody in your small group, there's somebody in your Bible study that just helps you stop and think about what you just said. Distinguishing of spirits is not necessarily calling out a cult, but it's calling out people even in the context of our local body. I'm going to meet this week with a couple of brothers, and we're going to do a study. And I've got some questions about this study together. And we do our studies together. We have three different perspectives, and we're just open and honest. And you know, I've been reading this chapter for the last 3 weeks, and I think, you know, I'm really eager about what my brothers in Christ have to say about this. Help me distinguish the spirit behind this. And we have people in our midst like this that have the gift of distinguishing of spirits. And what a gift they are to our small group, to the women's missionary prayer fellowship, to our youth ministry. We may even have, can you believe it? Young people in our church that have the gift of distinguishing of spirits. Because when they're surrendered to God, they have this amazing gift. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. We're going to save our talk about that until we come to chapter 14, okay? It's the gift of language. The gift of language. I want to do some more thinking about this. I want you to do some thinking about this. Have you seen it happen? This tongues and then interpretation of tongues? And we'll pick up next week with the gift of helps. I also want you to know, folks, in your notes, you will see, and we're probably going to talk about some of these gifts. They're not in this text, but they're in other texts. You'll see on this side of the page of your notes just a list of other gifts, and we're not going to cover all of them, but some of these are amazing gifts. And they don't include, I don't think they include by any means all the spiritual gifts that God gives his people. I think there are probably many spiritual gifts that don't specifically come through these words right here. But I have some of my favorite gifts. I think that boy, when you've got people that have these gifts, what a gift they are to the local church. And they're amazing. But things happen. What I do want you to really this week, I want you to mark up your Bibles as you read verses 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 through 30. Mark it up. What words stand out to you? What are the principles that are involved? And we'll talk about those next week. Father, thank you so much for your amazing gifts. And we know, Lord, that they don't make us amazing, but they are by your design, a gift, not just to us, but to our church. Lord, you've equipped us over the years and now to do your work. And I thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you and ask you to bless this work among us and as we touch the life of this community. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.